Number one, Star Wars. Number two, comics. Number three, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Number four, Mario. Number five, Weird Al. Number six, Batman. Number seven, Kal-El. Number eight, The Simpsons. Number nine, TV. Number ten, every single band that I stole all their MP3s, but before they all sold out, say it all together if you're with me now. Nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything. Say nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Nerds Ruin Everything. I'm Logan.
And I'm Adam.
And we're definitely going to ruin X-Men 97. So
this is true.
If you haven't watched it, I don't know what you're doing.
Literally, just turn this fucking thing off. I mean, we'll listen to the news, turn it off, and then come back to us because, yeah, there's a lot to talk about. But before that, we got some pretty big news. And like, you know, from the Marvel Universe. And I always like when you I'm gonna pose a question to you about All right. this. Before then, have you heard like Logan's favorite not a movie, Madam Web just dropped on Netflix
and it's doing gangbusters, buddy.
Exactly. It is a unmitigated success on Netflix, which that sounds about right for the movie, I could not believe that. I was like, first off, I was like, oh, it's on Netflix, that's great. There's a 35,000 other movies I could want to be on Netflix, but it's not. And then I was like, oh, it's a success. That's so just kind of interesting.
It's like this, Adam. If you're driving by something that looks like it may or may not be horrific, you're gonna look. It's right there. So
yeah.
You might not like stop and like stare, but you're gonna try to look at it. You're not gonna leave your house, drive 20 minutes away, fork out, if you're by yourself, $25 for drink, popcorn. I mean, I did. You're not going to go that far out of your way to see something that, like, somebody texts you and be like, hey, man, like, there's this horrible, like, crash that happened 20 minutes away from you. You can get there, but it's going to cost you $25 to see it. Nobody's going.
No.
But nobody's when it's gone. Right there, everybody's going to look.
Everybody's going to take a peep because we've all had our minimum of two sentence opinions about this movie. Now everybody can actually go and like, you know, include it in your Netflix, subscription so you can watch it. It's always funny because it's always the Columbia movies because they don't have a fucking streaming service, which supposedly it might be changing as we talked about last week. But I always find
also on the streaming front, like not to cut you off.
Yeah, no, go right ahead.
Fucking Warner Brothers and Disney are now going to bundle their service together.
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening?
I don't know, but what I do know is like, did you hear? Okay, so like TV stuff is happening right now, the upfronts and stuff. And you gotta love Zaz because he's about to lose the NBA on TNT. Did you know this?
Yeah.
Because he decided to be a dumbass, and back in 2021 or something when they were restructuring and they were asking him about NBA stuff that's coming up, because it was coming up, the renegotiation of their NBA slice or the slice of their NBA cake. And he said, and I quote, "We don't need the NBA. The NBA needs us." To which, wow. You were a complete and certified dumbass that gets paid to do dumbass things and gets a bonus for doing dumbass things.
I don't watch basketball.
Yeah.
To his point, Like, I'm gonna just take a stab because, like, they may not even be a team anymore. But, like, the Grizzlies probably need TNT. Sorry.
actually, like, I mean, wow, she going hard on it. Rip is going hard on it. Actually, the Grizzlies, not so much, but I think that the NBA kind of, like the NBA doesn't need TNT. It's the other way around, right?
Small, like, I mean, small, like, market teams might need a bigger broadcast area. But, that was my point. But, like, the Lakers?
No.
They don't need them.
No, nobody needs TNT. Like, other than, like, you know, other than having the stupid commentary from Shaq, Chuck, Ernie, and Kenny, like, which everybody loves if they're an NBA fan, you really don't, like, honestly, you don't need it. And now they're showing it. Like, if you put your foot so far up your mouth that it comes out your ass, you're going to pay for it. And he's going to find out because they're going to lose it to NBC. I think it's NBC that they're going to lose it to. NBC's going to get their rights back after 40 plus years. I think it was the 80s the last time they had it. And guess what? That's just another checkbox, because everything I've heard about MLB, which they have also, they're going to lose that shit too, because Zaz is a jackass. Let's just,
Major League Baseball is kind of a mess. Like, their broadcast rights are such a mess. So, if somebody steps in and could better solidify that, then, I mean, more power.
It's Apple. It's going to be Apple, because they've already started to do it. Like, they started to do it small. They're taking on, like, it's funny because it's like, not to get like a weird side tangent, but it's funny how certain streamers are taking focus on certain sports. Like, we just heard, interestingly enough, Netflix paid $150 million for two fucking games on Christmas Day, which they're still going to be able to sell to advertisers, which they will absolutely do. And
The NFL live sports has to have commercial breaks.
Yes.
Yep. Like, not to the extent that we currently have them, but, like, nobody gives a, like, when you're changing possession, when you're resetting innings. It's wasted air, because there's nothing to watch. So you have to sell that to advertisers. Even if that's the only dead air you have, that's tons of advertising, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes. Like, you know, and there's an injury on the field. There's so many things you need to be able to cut to advertisements for that, like, it's kind of a no-brainer. And Netflix has really been wanting to get into, like, advertising tiers. I mean, they kind of already have, but, like, heavy into it. Live sports is the way to go. Like, you just have to have advertisements.
Yeah. I mean, Amazon Prime with their NFL Thursday, they have advertising. Like, it's just, it's what happens. I just love the fact that we've reverted back, like, fuck the streamers, man, and fuck the studios for getting rid of cable and then telling us streaming was the way to go. And then they turned
it into the cable model.
Exactly. That's why I drop services now. I refuse to pay $20 a month to have the fucking right. Like, I've always said it. I'm super angry about this. Like, have the fucking right to watch fucking commercials. Fuck you. Seriously, fuck you. I don't want to watch fucking commercials. I spend my money. I'm sorry that you can't do whatever you're supposed to be doing with the $150 million a month that you're getting from gross revenue income. Maybe stop producing garbage. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know. It's weirdly all kind of screwy. And we went real sideways already. You know, this is what happens when we record on a Thursday after I get off of work. You get super saucy, Adam, the one that just doesn't give a fuck about anything. Though he does care about his other stuff. But yeah, I'm just like, but I like going back to the original point, like there's this little kid inside of me, the little agent of chaos that looks at everybody that's going to watch Madam Web and just laughs. Because it's like, even though we're comic book guys, like, you know, not the comic book guy, but we're attuned to pop culture more than like the average Netflix user, right? When they press that button, they're expecting to see something akin to Spider-Man. And my favorite thing is going to be, like, about 30 minutes in, they're going to realize none of this shit is happening. And
what
be
the
like,
fuck are the costumes?
Yeah. And then when evil Spider-Man shows up, because you know that's what they're going to call him, even though he's not evil Spider-Man, they're going to really fucking not know what the hell's happening. Like, why is Spider-Man not helping them? Why is he trying to kill them? Because literally the movie is such that you don't really get an indication. It's such a fucking bad movie in way it explains things to a normie that people would actually think that he's evil Spider-Man. Like, that's what my theory is, right? And so they're going to go along on this stupid trip that they've – this 90-minute stupid trip and just go, what the fuck did I see? Or just leave 30 minutes in going, I'm very confused by this. There are no superhero – like, it's literally a movie from, like, you know, it's just like it's – the equivalent of Morbius, right? It like it would have been great in 1997 when fucking Blade was released, right? Or 1998. It would have been fantastic. These three movies, like these two movies, would have gone perfectly with Blade, and we would have accepted them for what they were, right? We still would have called them messes, but we would have been a little bit lighter on them because they probably would have starred other people. Well, except for Jared Leto, because that man drinks virgin's blood because he hasn't changed since, yeah, like I think 1996.
My so-called life.
Exactly. Yeah. Except for the ability to grow a beard. Like, yeah, that's the only thing that's changed about him. You know? Digital de-aging?
I know it's terrible, and I mean you're never like, it's not like I was like this movie's great. It's stupid. It is stupid. I think I called it a disaster piece. Like it's so dumb that like I hope people can appreciate how absolutely dumb it is. And I hope that that's what's happening. You know, like room level, maybe not that level, but you know, on that kind of like plane, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this is so damn stupid, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I hope 10 years from now there's midnight screenings of Madam Web that you can just like interact with, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, like a Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah that would be great. That would be great as long as they just leave it as is. I was like, you know what, maybe they'll release the director's cut, but I don't want it to them to release the director's cut. Let's keep this as garbage trash as humanly possible,
because I really want to buy the Blu-ray because I want to see what the gag reel is, because I mean, I'm like, I thought everything you filmed was in the movie. So, like, all the bad takes are in the movie. What's the gag reel?
Nothing. Like, nothing, right? Like, there's no, like, how can you, like, yeah. It's like, it's not going to even be anything. It's going to be 2 minutes of, like, just, like the gag reel and the deleted scenes are one and the same. I guarantee you.
Even Morbius was not like a post like theater kind of success. I mean, they did this like people were like, bring Morbius back, and Sony put it back in theaters and like that was funny, but
and nobody showed up. Like that was the best part, right?
It was only funny because Sony's stupid.
Yeah,
but like it didn't get any kind of bump when it hit streaming. There was no like no talk like this. And like Madam Web, while it's not, you know, the talk of the town, it is like, holy crap, it's like in the top five on Netflix this week.
Yes, it is. And like to your point, it's like, I think it's morbid, like Morbius curiosity. just because it's like
is it that like, bad? Like, yes.
Bad?
It's yes, so it bad. But yes, it's like it goes, it doesn't go all the way around and become brilliant, but it does for me at least get to this level of like, I don't, did anybody involved in this know what they were doing?
Absolutely not. Like, so like the thing is that like, so this movie is just inept enough to not be like fun. Do you know what I mean? Like there's ineptitude in movies. Like, I mean, I watch Italian, like I watch Italian genre knockoff films. Like to my point, they like back in like 81 when Escape from New York came out, the Italians, because they have like very muddled copyright laws, saw this and they flipped their shit. Like 30 directors in Italy flipped their shit and decided all of them all at the same time they wanted to remake Escape from New York. So like, so they took like whatever other like was their favorite English language film and bastard mashed it together and made these weird ass, like there's one called 1990 The Bronx Warriors, which is a mashup of Walter Hill's The Warriors and Escape from New York. And I will tell you, this film is inept to a wonderfully beautiful level. It's so artistically gaunt and stupid, but these people knew how to make pretty images. They knew how to string together things and make it like entertaining and wild and inappropriate in all the right ways that you want. Like whenever you want somebody to make a left-hand turn, they make the left-hand turn. Madam Web isn't like that. It isn't like some disastrous piece. It's just a bunch of studio dickshits not knowing a fucking single. Like, I am very much convinced that all of these guys at Sony and all these gals that are the creative executives literally are the dumbest rocks in the world. That they only know two things, cocaine and money. And when cocaine and money are mixed together and you're not Joel Silver or you're not Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer circa 1980s, you get stupidity. You get people thinking that they're better than the audience and thinking that, oh, well, we don't need costumes. I mean, it's just a superhero movie. It has the Marvel logo on it. We have Kevin Feige as a producer. No, you don't. That's your coke-addled mind talking. And it's just, there's nothing here. Like it's studio interference at the highest level. And it's fascinating to me on a level of, so why did you choose to do that? Of all the things you decided to do, why did you at the end decide to have some kind of like, not even a postscript. It's like this weird, stupid, like she's in a wheelchair already. She's got these glasses. It looks like something out of like a bad Matrix ripoff.
I love it.
I know you do. Like, but for me, what fascinates me is the decision. Like the decision to film all of this, the decision to actually sit there with them and film this thing and thinking it was like a good idea. Like
I love the commitment to how stupid it is. They're just full on committed. Like either they, it's like you hand, and we talked so much about Madam Web. There's a whole episode about it.
Yes, it is.
It is like you handed a bunch of money to 13-year-olds. And we're like, here's a basic idea, write a script and then film it. And then like, that's what it is. Like only it's a well-made movie, by 13-year-olds.
Like, it's not even a well-made movie. It's
I mean, it looks like a movie. It doesn't look like something they filmed in the backyard. That's what I mean when I say well-made.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd much rather have a bunch of fucking stupid-ass 13-year-olds making a live-action version of Skibidi Toilet than I would actually watching, making Madam Web. Like, because, I'd rather watch Skibidi Toilet than watch Madam Web. I mean, that's just how inept it is. I know you love it, but it's like, it frustrates me so much. Like, because you think they're going to make the right decision, and then it's like, they crap their pants and lose all intelligence. It's wild for me to just sit there and watch it and go, what? Wait, what? You did that? Why did you do that? What are you thinking about? Yeah, maybe we should stop, because this is Madam Web is the dark toilet hole of pop culture for us, and we will continue to talk about it for another 4 hours.
Yeah.
And just kind of was like so why don't we go on to like actual interesting, meaningful news in the same realm, with some casting that we heard just yesterday.
Do I know about this? Who?
Yeah, you told me about it. It's the Fantastic Four casting, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I was like, John Malkovich? Like, we already talked about that.
You see, we go down the Madam Web, and we actually, I had to think about it, too. I was like, I had to question myself, because our IQs were lowered just a little bit while talking about Madam Web. So Marvel has continued to do this very interesting thing with the Fantastic Four cast, and have cast one of our favorites, Natasha Lyonne, in an undisclosed role.
And so, I took a left turn in our text conversation. I was like, this makes me think that Malkovich is actually playing the puppet master, not the mole man, because Natasha Lyonne is a perfect fit for Alicia Masters.
She really is. Like, she really does. Like, because I was like, you know what? Like, is he wrong? I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I was like, Puppet Master. And then, like, when you said that, I was like, okay. This is what my friend Google and the interwebs is for. And so I looked it up and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. She's a dead ringer. Which kind of sets up. Now, do you think that it's going to be a Batman Returns situation where we have multiple bad guys and it's all kind of coalesced together? Or do you think that this is set up like Marvel likes to do? Or have they learned their fucking lesson finally and just let's concentrate on the present?
I don't know. It's really tough to say, because there's a lot in this movie already. And it's starting to worry me a little bit. Like, I'm kind of hoping the Silver Surfer Galactus stuff that we know is going to be in the movie, they've cast those parts.
Yep.
It's very, very minimal. Like, it is the tag, like, it, or the cliffhanger, or something at the end. Like, I don't know how you fit all of this into like a 2.5 hour, almost 3 hour movie. I just don't know how you do that.
And then also, did you, like, we didn't even talk about the other rumor that they slid in there, which is Paul Walter Hauser is in an undisclosed role too.
Yeah.
And that's, I now think that's that not that com- might...
completely confirmed, right?
No, it's not.
That's just, but, yeah.
It's rumor and hearsay, but if they do, I think that he might be the perfect mole man.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see, like, a movie just chock full of stuff and not spend 45 fucking minutes on the origin of the Fantastic Four.
Like, please, let's not. Yeah.
Not in a, like, Spider-Man or Batman way, like, Jesus, how many times do we have to watch this? We've only seen it a couple of times, but I don't, like, they hijack a rocket, they go into space, they get bombarded by cosmic rays, they crash, they have superpowers. I don't think we need a really long build up to that. So
wouldn't it be great if they did the origins in the title credit sequence?
I'd love it,
the title credits are like,
you remember Spider-Man 2?
Yes, with the Alex Ross.
Yeah, fucking good, man.
So good. Like, do a recap like that, right? Like give me something like that in a 5-minute thing, because realistically, I don't need another. We're getting to the point where if Marvel has to do more fucking origin stories, I'm going to fucking deuce out, dude. I'm going to just be like, deuces, I don't need this shit, because it's so boring to me. It's gotten to the point to where... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I also think that this Fantastic Four movie is going to... Like, I know it's going to... Things are going to start to set up the Secret War stuff. Which is... Everybody saying a soft reboot, or speculating a soft reboot. I think they're right. I think we're about to get everything recast. Like, we're about, like a reboot of the MCU. Like a totally different, like actual 616 kind of universe. Because, I mean, honestly, you can't bring the X-Men into what's currently happened in the MCU and have it make any kind of sense. It really only works if you start back over.
From zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you start from zero and you build your way back up. But it also allows for all of these rumors that we've heard that, like, people like RDJ and Chris Evans are kind of like, not so much RDJ anymore, but definitely Chris Evans. We've heard the rumors, the rumblings that he's wanting to come back. And I mean, like, who doesn't want Cap back, right? I mean, we could have him for another 10 years and be acceptable, because
I think Chris Evans, Downey's got enough money to, like, well, he's resting on his laurels and he's doing his own things. He's producing stuff, like, hit, miss, whatever. Like, he's doing his things. I love Chris Evans. I do. So this is not a knock at Chris Evans. I've loved him since he was like that teen actor guy.
Yes.
Before the original Human Torch. Not another teen movie. Fantastic. He has not done anything worth a shit.
Yep. And that's why they're talking Marvel. About rumors that he, like, his star is waning. And, you know, the worst thing that could happen is that none of your shit connects, which it doesn't. I'm sorry, but it doesn't. Like, none of his shit is connected. None of it. And he's not making smart decisions, right? Like, you think a dude that is charming wouldn't get involved with The Rock, but here we are. But the soft reboot is definitely something, like, you know, we've heard this swirling around because of Secret Wars and because of the fact that how do you get the X-Men into that universe, because they are such a big thing. Like, it's funny because, like, we're going to be talking about a couple things and I'm still like, I like the pop of it, but I'm not sure if I like what happened in certain things. But we'll get into that. And we'll get into that because it's something that's has to do with what exactly you're saying, which is that it can be kind of jarring to bring somebody in, especially when you've already set a universe up where the X-Men don't exist. Now, Feige can say whatever the fuck he wants. Oh, well, they're just another core part of the toy, you know, Canada. No.
That works in comics, no. Man. It does work in comics because every book can't be involved with every other book. Even though that does happen, like, almost on a fucking yearly basis at this point.
Yes.
But they still exist in their own kind of separate corners. And then, you know, you build up to, like, oh, big crossover, separate corners, big crossover, separate corners. In the movies, though, like, something to the level of, like, they're hated and feared, and, like, it doesn't play in the MCU as it is. like they have to do a lot of legwork to make that play. Like the post snap stuff would have been a good start to it, but they didn't have the property yet, you know? Like,
no, they didn't.
Bringing everybody back, the world's trying to get back to normal, and like, oh, look, more heroes. And the world at large is like, fuck this. We are done with this. Like, and just everybody is on the outs, you know? Like, that would make sense. But you've gone a few steps too far now to really, really, really set that up. Only mutant you have is Miss Marvel in this MCU. Everybody else you've shown is from like other universes.
All universes.
Yeah. So it's a lot of legwork that they're not doing. So but I mean, we'll see there. When you said casting news, I don't know why my mind didn't immediately jump to the Nicolas Cage thing, but I guess mostly because that's been like on the back burner, like slowly coming together for a while. Like, it was speculated that he was coming back when Amazon announced that they were developing it, and now it's confirmed Nicolas Cage is going to be an alternate universe version of Spider-Man, reprising his role from Across the Spider-Verse, or Into the Spider-Verse, the first one, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Playing Spider-Man Noir, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, and then also, I think that you might have been mistaken when we were texting. I just want to confirm, you do realize the live action version, which is even crazier, right?
No, like, I know it's live action.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
So I had just finished watching X-Men, but I wasn't sure if you had watched it yet. There's a lot of fucking cameos in that X-Men finale, and I was like, at this point, just give me a full-on fucking animated universe. I don't need any of the live-action stuff anymore.
I really don't. Like, I really don't. Like we could talk about it, but yeah, that's a bold thing. Like, Amazon, like, it's weird because I feel like Amazon is super committed to this. Like, they really want it, right? To which, I mean, I love the fact that MGM, Amazon thinks that they're going to throw $150 million at a Spider-Noir series starring Nicolas Cage. I don't think that they really understand, like they are so up their ass with like metrics that they probably have convinced themselves that Challengers was like the biggest hit in the world. Which it's not. Guys, I'm going to tell you this right now. Challengers, not a good movie. Also, additionally, only made $30 million. That's what fucking Fall Guy made opening weekend, and it's considered a failure. Okay, so like...
I mean, because it costs like $180 million to make.
Yeah, but Challengers cost like $75 million without PNR, so that's a failure. That's a bath. I mean, I'm just getting tired of people like the what they're trying to pick and choose as like points of interest. Like, oh, well, it was a success. No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. So shut the fuck up and stop saying that it was, because it's not. I'm like, you guys can talk all the shit you want about Dune 2 and how great it is, and it's Empire Strikes Back for the like the new generation. Fine. If that's your wonky ass version and answer to Empire, I'm totally for it. But don't come at me with some of this like weird nastiness. But it's all to say, they're going to throw a lot of money at this fucking thing, and I cannot wait, because we already know that if Nicolas Cage is allowed to do whatever he wants to do, it's going to be, especially with, I feel like he has a soft spot for comics, and he understands comics better than probably the average person. Like, you know, the average person on the set that's not a Marvel set. Yeah. So he's going to be able to do some. I feel like this is going to be something special. Like, it's not going to be. It's going to be something along the lines of like what we get every once in a while from him, where it's just Mandy. Wait, or
do we know any of the other creatives involved?
No, because they fucking fired them all. they fired them all. And then recast, and then like all the showrunners, they they fired them, which was not a good look for them because they were all POCs, and then they recast them with, like, I think supposed, like, white people, or, you know, typical writers, screenwriters, old white men. Hold on a second. I'll let you know right now as we're talking about it. But I mean, I've, like, you know, the rumor is they're trying to throw a lot of money at this thing. To which I'm like, you know what? Go right ahead. Do that. Like, because that's going to be funny when it's an amazing thing for us, but everybody else is going to be like, what the shit is this? What is this? What are you doing? Why are we doing this? Let's see. It doesn't even have their, it doesn't even have their, nope. They have something, like they said that a director is Dylan Riley MacArthur, who I have no idea who that is, but there's nothing else other than it says that it's in production. But I remember that they did have, I mean, they honestly did have like a bunch of
Because they announced like, this like last, like mid-year last year.
Yeah.
That they were working on developing that. And we may have even talked about it a little bit, but
I think we did. And we actually called it. I think we actually said, you know what, this thing's gonna implode because before it was just Sony. It wasn't Sony and Amazon Prime. And it blew up. They literally fired the writer's room, like when it was being developed. So who knows? But I'm excited. I'm excited that they actually went through, they're actually going through with it. At least it seems like they are.
I don't know what they're thinking in, none of the Spider-Verse and Tom Holland Spider-Man, anything ancillary to that has not been even kind of successful, like disregarding Madam Web's, like,
yeah,
that's not really success. Netflix paid Sony some money, and now a lot of people are watching the movie that they paid money for. It doesn't actually translate into dollars for Sony. That it really only helps them recoup a lot of fucking losses from producing the movie to begin with. So, like, nothing has been a success. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Venom, to a degree, yes. But, like, not... Yeah. It hasn't been the way, like, the Spider-Verse and... it hasn't been a cultural thing.
No, it's a dumpster fire. Like, let's be honest. Like, even though it's... Okay, so, like... we kind of talked about this whole Venom thing, which is that Venom was crafty scheduling, right? Like, literally, they managed the last two, and now they got their heads out of their asses and went, oh, maybe we shouldn't release it in February, but maybe release it the same time that we did the last one, which is October, right. which is funny because, like, it just works, like, the first part of October, and they get a small mint of money, like $250 to $350 million. Jesus Christ, like, wow. Okay.
But here's the thing. If they had true confidence in that movie, it would be showing up in May.
Oh yeah, May or even July. Like 4th of July weekend. Like, come on, let's be honest. Like they should have been. I mean,
you've got to not have any kind of real competition. It's got to, like, hit the right people, like, not knocking them, but, you know, like, late September, October, early November. That's the 6 weeks that the goths really live for, you know.
It's true.
It is timing, you know. It's going to be really, really interesting if this does, like, I know it's in production, but that doesn't mean we'll actually see it. It could still all fall apart.
Even if it gets produced, I mean, we heard about, like, we remember, like, nobody remembers that the Spider-Rick Chronicles or the Spider-Ship or whatever the hell that thing is, was a huge production for Disney. They produced it, they edited it, they created the show, and it's on Roku now. Like, it's literally being, it's literally premiered on Roku. It went from a Disney Plus series to not like for a year and change, not going anywhere, and then being dumped on Roku. Willow, yeah. Willow was made for a fuck ton of money. Yeah. And it showed up on, I mean, it literally went on Disney Plus, and it was such a bad, it was gone
like, 2 months later.
Exactly. To which, I mean, let's be honest, like, Willow wasn't like the original one. I mean, even though we love it and we had a fondness for it.
It was not successful.
Not a hit. It was not a success. Like, you know, like anything that George Lucas just produced that wasn't called Star Wars. Yeah. And ended with the wars. So, like, you know, we're in these weird, heady times where they could literally take $150 million bath on it, a write-off on it, like, you know. And streamers, they're absolutely like that. So, but regardless of that weird anxiety, I'm very, very excited for this, because this is kind of like the stuff that you want to see them flex, right? Like,
yeah,
we've gone, I mean, we're now officially in year 15 of MCU, right? And the thing that I'm finding is that the movies are all wonderfully produced, they're big budget, but it's a series of bankrupt ideas, right? Like, they're using the same like seven different ideas. And it just kind of like, it's getting tiresome for me, because it's like, you could do so much with these characters, right?
Buddy, you just described comics.
This is true. This is true. You know, not everything can be Saga, right? Not everything can be Preacher or Sandman, but there's a way to do it. And the way to do it is X-Men 97, right?
Like, yeah. Before we get to X-Men 97, real quick, since it's something we have talked about before, I did finish Spider-Man 2.
Oh, and what was your thoughts on the game?
The fucking symbiotes suck, man. They kicked my ass.
Yes, they do.
So much.
Yep.
Like, I couldn't, like, I literally had to spend hours just going around and trying to find everything I need to upgrade everything as much as possible.
And even then, they still
jack you up every third time. Tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the hives, going into the hives.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I didn't want to ruin it for you, because, like, if I had told you how tough those fucking things were.
There was times where I was just like, I'm gonna give up. Like, I just give up with this game. Like,
can I ask you, when was the first time that a symbiote pulled you from a swing, mid swing?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you, man. Like, I probably I don't see. That's another thing, though. I'm not great at the swinging. So, like, I'm just free swinging in the city, it's fine.
Yeah,
and that happened a couple of times. But like, any other time. Like, because I know, like, you can, like, do air stuff when you're fighting. I'm terrible at that. Like, this is probably why I got my ass kicked a lot. Because I'm literally just on the ground, like, beating the shit out of people. Or trying to. And, like, especially the ones with the, like, the dual things where you got to, like, watch both of them. Like, yes. I had to play those so many times. But
the behemoths.
Yeah.
I hated the behemoths.
When there's two of them.
Yes.
Fuck that, man. Like, it wasn't until I got that anti-venom suit that I could really, really handle the big guys. Like, when there was multiples. Even then I struggled a few times. But also the Mysteriums, some of them are fine. Some of them were fucking nightmares, man. The one where you gotta kick the people off the side.
The building?
My God.
Nowhere? Holy fuck, dude. You know, I'm not gonna lie.
I bet I played it 20 times.
I at least. I spent probably 4 hours of game time in there. And I would leave. I would be like, fuck this. I can't do this. Yeah. I've been at this for an hour. Let me just quit. Because it's the fact that it's not the fact that you have to throw them off the building. You have to do it specific ways.
Yeah. At a specific Otherwise it doesn't time. Count.
It doesn't count. And you only have an X number of times. Like I didn't go back to that. I didn't go back to the, I got, you know, they're like, I lucked into like gold, but most of the time it was just a bronze because it was so fucking hard. The one where you're flying through places, that was a pain in the ass too. Yeah. But that throwing off the ledge off of the Inception Nowhere place. Oh my fucking God. That was so hard. I think like, and I didn't want to tell you this because it's the same thing. You do the same thing I do, which is level up to a point to where the missions are easy. And then you can kind of do the fun missions and stuff, but it doesn't matter how much you level up. Some of these things are just difficult. Those levels are just difficult.
Like, I think I was playing mid level, cause you can set like how the difficulty I think I was just there. I think there's 5 levels. And I think I was just playing level 3. Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Neighborhood because it's friendly neighborhood, amazing, spectacular. And Ultimate. I think it's Spectacular is the last one, or maybe Ultimate is the last one. I cannot remember for the life of me, but it's damn hard. It is a damn hard game at a certain point. And I think that they knew that. And I think that levels don't matter at a certain point, especially in the hives. Because like that,
it's just a swarm. Rob you. Yeah. It's just a swarm of sometimes it's hard to get your bearings, you know? Yep. So, I went back in and started a new game plus mode. I'm not going to stay on the game, but I did want to see like what it unlocked. It's funny, Tim, our buddy Tim, he complained about it. He was like, I don't like the game plus thing. But like when I set up my new save with the game plus mode, I was like, what happens if I just turn the difficulty all the way down to like the lowest? And it's a lot more fun. I've already played through it at a relatively normal difficulty level.
Yeah.
Like I just want to like beat the shit out of people. And like, I got through that first Sandman thing that took me, I don't know how long the first time, but like, I just breezed right through it. Of course, I know you're at your power level. You're at your, so that helps too. But lowering the difficulty level is just like, oh shit, I punched the sand dudes 3 times and they're dead.
So, it's not, it's like great. 25. It's not like the original where you're hitting them like 35 like 20, times.
Yeah, 25, 30 move combos.
And you're like, how the hell is this not dying? Have you gone into the action figure mode and seen the action figure mode?
No, I haven't.
Okay. There's this little thing that you can do where it turns your character into an action figure, and you can take a picture of it.
Yeah, I've got to do that. I kind of got mildly obsessed with playing as as Spider-Man Noir is Peter, and Miles's Spider-Verse costume. They do such a good job of like making it feel like you're playing those. Like it's not, I know it's a skin, but it's not just a skin.
It isn't. It really isn't. It's really great. Did you play with my favorite thing to do, even though it's just a skin, is playing with the Logan Spider-Man.
I did for a little while. I thought it was pretty cool.
It's really awesome. And like, I love the animated, like I love that you can turn on the animation for any skin now. It's not just certain skins, it's like all skins have that whole thing of like, oh okay, well you can turn it into an animated version. Did you get the Spider-Verse little mission where you got to go to the bar?
So I opened a portal and saw the lady.
Yes, is it, that's
there's
what
a
I was
mission
talking about.
Beyond that?
No. Though the rumor is that the DLC is going to be all about that.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was really cool. What you collect? Yeah. What is it you collect? The spider bots. Yeah, you get all the spider bots and she takes them from you. Yeah, and she's like, tell Miguel that we're even or some shit. And he's like, who's Miguel? I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
But I've heard the rumor is that that's going to be, that's the key for the unlock of the DLC content.
Okay.
But the DLC is going to start to futz with, multiverse stuff or Spider-Verse stuff.
That'll be interesting. So.
Yeah, it will. Like one of my favorite levels is the whole Doctor Strange with Black Cat. Like that's one of my favorite missions because it's so much fun.
Did I play that? Yeah, I did. It just happened so fucking early in the game.
It does. Like the game, like, and that's what another question I was going to ask you is, like, did you enjoy just how big of a game it was?
Oh yeah, it's insane. How big it, although I will say this, I think I've mentioned I'm also playing Mario Odyssey, which I also just beat the final Bowser.
Oh shit. Okay.
I don't know. Have you played Mario Odyssey?
No, I have not. And it is I'm not
fucking
sure if I'm going to.
Massive.
That's
like
what I've heard.
The levels are big enough, but like when you get to the end, you unlock so much shit. Like that you then have to try to earn that. I mean,
you have to go back.
Yes. There are costumes in this game that cost like your max amount of coins. Like you have to max out your coins, like 9,999 coins to get
them.
Yes.
Wow.
Multiple costumes. And also like if you do ever play it, like, we should probably at some point have a conversation about cultural appropriation in regards to Mario.
Oh no. Like, is it really like the, like, does it go hard into the Chris Pratt of it all?
I mean, there's a level that, like every level has a secret door that you can only get into by dressing up like somebody who lives on that world.
And what, like, is the world that
there's
we're talking
so
about?
Many different ones. There's one that's like Asian themed, so you have like kimonos or like samurai gear. There's one that's South American themed, so you have like a sombrero and a poncho, and I'm like, you know, it's pretty amazing that somebody doesn't stand, because like if I showed up somewhere wearing a sombrero and a poncho, somebody'd be like, you're an asshole, you can't do that.
Or you might actually get punched. Like nowadays, like you might actually get punched, which is a fucking wild ass thing, but you know what? You fuck around, you find out, right? Like, that's some wild shit. That is some wild shit, dude.
I mean, I'm not preaching against it. I'm just saying, in the society that we currently live in, I find it amazing that nobody's been like, hey, man, maybe we shouldn't let Mario dress like this.
maybe not.
It's pretty funny. But yeah, two massively huge games. Mario Odyssey is not the game that the Zelda games are. It's not that level. But for a Mario game, like, it's pretty damn huge. Like, just, I'm much like Spider-Man, I'm just going to have to be okay with, like, I didn't do everything in the game. I didn't get all the achievements. I didn't unlock everything. Although, in Spider-Man, I think I've unlocked everything except in plus mode, you get gold versions of things. Like your web shooters, you can make them gold. Like it's like it feels like some kind of weird throwback to the GoldenEye games, where you make all the guns gold, you know.
That's great.
And you can upgrade them to that, although I don't think it gives you any kind of advantage whatsoever. So okay. it just looks different. And you know how like there's certain abilities that you have to choose, like when you're upgrading your health and everything. There's like you can choose the top box or the bottom box, and they both do different things.
Yeah.
In plus mode, you can get to a point where you can just activate both of those things. You don't have to make a choice. So it's a little different, but like it doesn't really, it's not gonna like add anything to the gameplay. So Spider-Man 2, Mario Odyssey gonna fall into the Tears of the Kingdom box for me of like, I finished the mission of the game, and mm-hmm. I will have to be satisfied. Otherwise, I will probably be playing these games for the rest of my life, like, and nothing else. So, but anyway, let's talk about X-Men 97. That's what we came here to talk about. Full-on spoilers, X-Men 97. I watched it. I literally stayed up late to watch it the night it was, because I was like, it's going to drop at like, I think they drop it at like 3. I was tired, but yeah. I was like, I can't, I know me. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pull up Facebook or something, and somebody's going to be
gonna
like,
get ruined.
So I was like, I'm staying up till 3, watched it when it premiered. Holy shit, is this show fucking great.
Man, it's on fucking fire, dude. Like, so we haven't talked about it. We didn't talk about it like last week. So it's kind of nice because this is a triptych, right? Like, it's really like this feel like more than any of these. Like, I remember, like, you know, Life Death has a part one and part two, but I really don't feel like any of these were like really what we got from the original series, which were extended, like long arcs, right? And this is the first one that we actually like, everything was coalescing to this three episode arc. And like, let's just like you don't even need to like talk about like the the wild ass way that they all cliffhanged, right? Like each one was like doubling down on shit that you didn't think was going to happen, but it actually does. But what I love about it is if you take away that stuff, it is still like, it's some of the best like comic book story, like superhero storytelling that we've had in a pretty long time, not just on TV, but on, I'll say it, in movies too. Like, they don't get into the weeds the way that X-Men 97 has gotten into the weeds, right? Yeah. Like, let's take away the, like this is all saying that this is a soap opera. It's very arched in the way that the dialogue works. I don't care about that. Like, you can give me that kind of shit because that's a part of the milieu of the animated series. But, like, let's just talk about storytelling and building. This is how you make, like, this is what I was talking about. It's like, I get tired of fucking the same fucking shit over and over again, right? X-Men 97 manages to tell, like, over this last season, has managed to tell a unique story within the X-Men animated series universe, but still have ties to every single story that it's ever told, at least in my estimation, right?
Like, yeah, I completely agree with, like, one of the absolute, maybe most interesting thing about the show is that they are literally lifting stories from the comics, but they're doing something new with them. Like, they're telling them in a different or like series of events. Like, nothing is like straight exactly like the way it happened in the comics. Like,
absolutely. But like the Cable stuff, like the Cable story. Like, that's the prime example of it, right? Yeah. But you were saying, but
like it's just, I don't know if it's elevating it. It's just, it's presenting it without any kind of like bullshit where it's like, somebody, like, we have to help people understand what's going on. It's like, you're either on board or you're not, like, you know, and that could be a real detriment for some people, but I, you know, for like fans like me, I think it's a positive because we're not having, like, I can't imagine somebody who is not remotely familiar with the X-Men watching this show and like being like, oh yeah, I'm on board with all of this. Like when you get to Madeline Pryor, it would just be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What?
But here's the thing is that there is a, what, 150 episode series that you can dive into before you dive into this to understand everything.
I don't even think it's 100 episodes. I think there's only like 68 episodes of X-Men.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see. I was going to check just right now. Not because I don't believe you. It's just that I want us to be accurate on
it. 76. Only felt, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It only felt like 150 episodes.
Yes.
Not but, in a bad way. Just in we were so on board with it for and like those seasons are relatively short.
Mm-hmm.
You may not realize how many times you rewatched the same episode.
Yes. Because they like my favorite part about the X-Men the animated series is that there was an absolute fucking order in which it needed to be told, right? But once it went into syndication,
it was Batman 66. It was like,
exactly, like you wouldn't even get the second half the next day or the same day. It would be like two first episodes or an ending of an episode. Yeah. Like, oh man, I fucking got so mad. I used to get so mad at that whenever I'd watch, like, you know, Batman 66 on, like, for us, it was Channel 5 KTLA at 4 o'clock, right, from 4 to 5, and I would get pissed if it was a episode that literally, like, you got two beginnings, or the worst, you got two ends.
You got two
like cliffhangers, and you're like,
God help
shit.
You if it was one of the rare season 3 3-part episodes.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like you're either gonna miss the middle or never see the end of that.
Yep. There's 76 episodes. So, you know what? Like, this is made, like, the thing is, what I love about this is that X-Men 97 is made for X-Men fans. And specifically the animated series fan.
Yeah.
Right? And it makes no qualms about it. Like, Bo DeMeo made no qualms about, like, I'm going to, like, he wasn't ashamed about, like, that's the thing, is that there's no shame in this series. And that was the thing that I was really, really worried about, was that they weren't going to go full on with the hokey. It's not even hokey. It's just melodramatic. Like,
I mean, some of it could, like, it's at least borderline hokey. But yes. You're 100% right. To your point, there's a fucking scene, like, later in the series where it's Cable and Cyclops are having a conversation.
Yes.
And Cable's like, what is this? And he's like, what, were you expecting, like, black leather? Something like that? Talking about the outfits.
Yes.
Which is a straight up swipe at the original movie, which took a swipe at the comics themselves. And when Wolverine is like, you guys dress like this? And he's like, and Cyclops says, what were you expecting? Yellow spandex?
Excellent.
You know? And like, at the time, it was like kind of funny, but kind of mean. Cause like, it's not our fault that you can't make that work on screen.
Yeah.
I mean, now we're in a world where we can make that work on screen. But yeah, the series, like, clapping back at that movie fucking 20 something years later.
Yep. And getting caught.
Fantastic.
Okay. It really is. And you know what? I'm here for it. I'm here for all the arched dialogue, for the telenovela of it all, because that's X-Men. Like, and it makes no qualms about it. And it makes it okay. Like, because the show is okay with doing this, it makes the audience a lot more receptive to being okay with it. It's like, there's this, there was something I was going to ask you about, which I find is a very interesting wrinkle that they've added in now, which is, do we think that the X-Men 97 version of Charles and Magneto are gay?
Okay.
And so, have a relationship?
So, first of all, this is something I have said for decades at this point.
Right.
I remember when they were launching the Ultimate X-Men line, and like in some form or another, I was like, they should totally make Xavier and Magneto lovers.
Lovers.
And like, and now it's even a meme. Like, you can look it up. Somebody like memeified it and was like, how these two people made their breakup literally everybody else's problem.
That's so true.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's definitely coded, like intentionally coded that way. I mean, I was like, they're gonna kiss. 100% they're gonna kiss. Like
that opening. Okay, so like that opening, like the opening for the last for the last episode where it's Vietnam. They have the birds like thank you X-Men for taking back what Forrest Gump stole from me, which is the birds every turn. Like they set it up and then they have this conversation that's all coded about, like, they're like, you know, they're feeling each other out. And it's straight up from something like Brokeback Mountain, where you have these two men that are trying to figure out, even though it's about being a mutant, right? But it's so not about being a mutant. And it's like the way that they animate them, the way that they draw them, the looks. I'm like, dude, like, if we don't get this whole like relationship going with this, like, I'm gonna be disappointed, because at this point, this is like, this is more.
They'll
like,
never cross that line. They will never cross that line. But I do.
Too far for them?
I think fans would go ballistic. It's enough that the show was able to lean into Xavier being an extremely problematic person.
Yes.
Extremely that's problematic. Like, there's like, I have a long standing, like, kind of phony, like, fuck Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's a liar, kind of thing going on. But, like, no bones about it. Like, fuck Charles Xavier. Like, even in the current X-Men books, like, he does so much shady shit. Like, it's, I'm glad that, like, it's a more prevalent thing now, because like it was pretty shitty back in the day. Like, if you read the OG like Stan Lee books, it's very just like, oh, this guy's like the adult, and it's just whatever he says. Like, he's just always been problematic, but they kind of have glossed over it forever and a day, and now that it's just full on embraced by the character, you know. Even in Logan a little bit, like, Xavier is kind of problematic, you know, not to the degree that you know he is in the books or even in this show, I don't think. And it's one thing, like, you have Wolverine, who's also problematic, but like, that's the point of the character. Like, Scott calling Xavier out when he returns, it's fucking great. It's like the best Cyclops moment the show has ever had.
Well, it might be the best Cyclops moment in cinematic terms, right? Because, like, he's been such a simp. He's been such a, like, oh God, I can't even, you know, it's really hard to watch what they do, like how he's just not anything, right? He's a prop.
Yeah.
But at least in the show, there was always like an agency to him. Like, he always had something. I may not have agreed with it. Like, he may have been just the biggest doofus, straight ahead, straight arrow. Like, you hated him when you were a kid. But this series has made it so that, like, it's like, it's almost like a reformation kind of thing, like a reclamation thing, where by the end of the series, you're literally like, when he has his moments, and he has a couple of them, they're earned, and you don't roll your eyes at them. You don't go, oh man, fucking, I hate Scott. I really hate Scott.
I mean, it gets, so when they go to Asteroid M, like,
yes,
Xavier's gonna pull the trigger on Magneto, and fucking Scott is just like, bam, nope. Like, nope, yep. They need more time. Like, yep. No, you're not doing that, man. Like, not yet. You don't get to call the shots anymore. We're on the field. This is my fucking team. They need more time.
No, absolutely. Oh, and then the other thing of, like, uncucking him, right? Like the whole thing with Jean and giving him, like, making it so it's not so much about Wolverine. Like, you know, like watching the series, you're always like, oh, man, Wolverine's always in the way. But you're, like, when you're a little kid, you're like, yeah, forget Scott, go with Wolverine. But it's like weird because it's like this version of 97 or this version of X-Men has made it a point to make sure that by the end of Tolerance's Extinction Part 3, when you have the moment between Cable, Scott, and Jean Grey, that it's this like missed moment of a family, and you feel for all three of them. Or you feel for like Scott in a way that you understand now, like not just choices, but the love that he has for Jean, and then likewise the love that Jean has for him. And that moment of giving him his eyes, fuck, dude, that hurt. That hit me. That hit me hard. Like, I was actually genuinely surprised, because sometimes the Cable delivery can be kind of wonk, but.
He's very wooden and stoic. Yes. I mean, it's kind of intentionally so, but like exactly. It makes it really, really hard. Like, not knocking the voice actor. I don't know who it is, but I said stoic. So in a movie like How to Train Your Dragon, where you literally have a character named Stoic. Who has to be stoic. Like, you have Gerard Butler who can bring vulnerability when he has to. The guy voicing Cable does not have that.
No, like, he doesn't. I'm thinking about the whole reveal that he has the power.
Yeah.
Like that delivery of that fucking line is so weird and so jaunty. It threw me out of that moment, which is supposed to be a holy shit moment. But it just comes off as like, oh, okay, well, you kind of fucked that line up, buddy. Yeah. But the moment where he gets it, like where Gene gives that moment of like, you know, you always had your father's, like, you know, Madeline said that you had your father's or your father's eyes. And then she just gives it like that power to like be able to show that. That hits hard on multiple levels, but it's also like this great moment for Scott where the whole entire episode where he's doing certain things and he's acting like the leader that he's supposed to be, right? Like, like it's funny because I was going to ask you, have you ever felt that, like, even in the comics, like, I've never felt that Scott was the leader. Like, he was a leader by default. Like, he's the guy that gets hired, and because he's... like, he's the manager that you know
he was there
related.
First.
There
and he kisses the boss's ass. It's just like, well, I guess he's the leader. So.
Or he's related to the fucking, he's related or he or she's related to the owner, right? And you're like, oh, fuck. The only reason why I'm listening to you is because my job dictates that. But you know what? On the side, fuck him.
I always felt he was kind of, and maybe this is like partly like I think Leonardo and the Ninja Turtles is like a good almost one for one for Cyclops where it's like he stepped up and said he was the leader. And it's just like nobody fucking elected you, dude. Yeah, nobody was like, let's make him the leader. You just stepped up. And it's like it's only really in like it's not even on the field that people argue with it. It's in the moments, like the smaller moments, where he's just like, I'm the leader of the X-Men, that Wolverine would just be like, who fucking made you leader? Like, yeah. Nobody voted for that, you know? Like, why the fuck isn't Storm our leader? She's way more powerful. Storm is so powerful, this show has to take her out twice.
Twice.
So.
Twice. Sideline her twice. And can I just say, like, the Forge Storm relationship was the relationship I didn't know I wanted, but absolutely kind of love that they gave us in this series. To which, like, so much so that at the end, like,
like, so my favorite, feel for him, man. Like, he's like, Aurora.
Like, you feel for him. But then my favorite part, like, and honestly, I really, really wanted him to punch the shit out of Bishop. Because Bishop comes in. Like,
motherfucker, I watched him disappear, man.
Yes.
Like, I watched them explode in the sky, and you're just smiling. Like,
he's like Lando. He Landos it, man. He comes in and goes, hello, what have we here?
Yeah.
Like, I literally wanted him to go like Chewbacca on him and just strangle him. Like, you motherfucker, you don't understand what you fucking did. And he's like, we have to go find him. But it was like, there's like so, like, it gets like, what I like about the show is that it makes no qualms about the look of the characters, but also it doesn't try to change what we know about these characters, but it takes what we know. And like, it's like when you're a kid, when you're watching a movie and you do the Shane Black thing where you go, why the fuck are we doing this? Why are we having this conversation? It's like, my favorite moment in Lethal Weapon is, so Danny Glover and his best friend, his Vietnam buddy, I can't remember who the guy who plays him, he's a very famous actor, are sitting there having a conversation about his daughter and the reasons why she committed suicide. And I'm like, this fucking shit. And then he gets shot, the guy, because he's about to give up all the things. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know. But then he gets shot, right? And the bad guys do exactly what I want them to do, which is be smarter than me, right? And or be smarter than a dumbass movie. This show is smarter than a dumbass show, right? Like, the moment, like, the best example of it is Morph and how much they've not taken anything that is outside of Morph. They've just extrapolated and gone, they did the kid thing, which is like, you know, well, you know, if he's that, he's got to be sexually fluid. Like, if he's doesn't have a, if he doesn't have a gender, because Morph doesn't have a gender, right? And he's genderless. And there's this through line that builds and builds and builds until the end where he gives Logan exactly what he wants, and it tells you everything that you need to know about Morph.
Yeah,
like everything you need to know about Morph, because if Morph had it,
and that goes back to like literally the first episodes, like,
yes,
Wolverine and Morph are so like close, you know, and you know, later when they bring Morph back, you know, it's very like, that they are buddies. I mean, talking about Brokeback Mountain, it has kind of sort of like, not maybe not that overt, but like there's definitely something there.
Yeah, so. No. And they've taken that and they lifted it up and they pushed it out just enough to where if you look at it, you can take it as it is, or you can read more into it. And that's like kind of like, for me, that's the sweet spot in a parable comic like X-Men, right? Like, I don't need super text. I just need just enough to show me that you're trying to tell me something, but don't connect the dots. Like, it's not, it's like, it's the difference between like X-Men movies giving Martin Luther King dialogue to Xavier and giving Malcolm X dialogue to Magneto, and then telling me about it, and then the actors telling me about it, and then everybody telling me about it. I don't need that shit. Like, I really don't need that kind of version of it. Like, what I need is you to just infer, and I can infer whatever I want. I can do the reading. I don't need the blunt force trauma, which I cannot believe I'm saying this, but X-Men 97 is more subtle in its themes and messages than any of the X-Men movies that we've seen. Any of them. Like so much so it's embarrassing to me. Like, I think back on it and I'm like, oh man, some of those those movies and some of the shit that they say is like, at least X-Men, the animated series, had an excuse. It was a child's show. Like, these movies were supposedly, like, you know, supposed to be adult serious versions. And then you think about some of the dialogue they say, and it's like, well, that's a little cringe. That's a little weird. Okay. But here, they do lean into it, but it's not, like, it's never, again, something that I love about it is that, like, the dialogue is never, like, so, like, the dialogue is never obvious on the nose when it's talking about a theme. It just shows you something, right? Like, it just kind of, like the whole Magneto, being in Magneto's head, right? Like, and having their back and forth, right? It's about emotions, but at the end of the day, it's literally these, like, one man who's so in love with another man trying to save that man, right? Like, literally trying to save him after he made the biggest fucking mistake. But it feels real in a way that I don't feel like anything in the X-Men movies was real, other than the moment in X2 where Jean uses, who does she use to talk to?
Wolverine.
Wolverine. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And to talk to Scott. Literally. Yeah, yeah, and he's literally sitting there crying.
You're like, oh God, are they gonna kiss?
Yeah. Again, another thing. But like, I love that. Like, I love, like, you know, I love the way that they are able to take they're actually able to take back everything that's wrong with the X-Men in the animated in the movie universe and kind of reset it in a very soft way, in a way that I don't think that I was expecting, because like, I really wasn't expecting them to be able to, like, because I've been out of love with the X-Men for a very long time, like a very long time. Like, the X-Men movies are so just kind of like gobbledygook shit.
I mean, we talked about it. There's like, at best, there's four decent ones. Like,
yeah,
two or three that are good or great. Like, and if you include Logan and Deadpool in that mix, yeah, it ups the count by a little bit, but not by much. You know, there's one truly great Deadpool movie, one pretty good Deadpool movie. There's one really great Logan movie. There's one really good
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wolverine, the director's cut, the only reason why it doesn't work is because Silver Samurai, which he gets a cameo. What the shit?
He's had multiple cameos in this series, and it's literally always just him standing there watching shit happen. I'm like, what is going on with the Silver Samurai? Like, do they just have the character design and we're like, well, let's just throw it in there? Like, why the fuck do they keep showing this guy? Also, biggest question, like, that the series left me with is, why the fuck is Psylocke on the Alpha Flight team?
Okay, so yeah, right? Like, it was so weird. Like, I was watching, I was like, what? Like, and then, like, I had to recall, I was like, okay, so was Psylocke on, like, was that something that I've never really actually known? And that was something where she started? But you've now answered my question, and now I'm a little bit more clueless to this whole thing.
You want
to
talk about problematic characters? We can go down a little side road here. Psylocke is maybe the most problematic character in all of the X-Men, because Psylocke, as most people know her, is an Asian, purple-haired ninja lady.
Yep.
That is not who she is. She's Betsy Braddock, a white British woman who threw some fucking like crazy shit I don't even want to get into, gets her body, her mind transplanted into an Asian woman's body. And like, at the time, I can see, but like, they've done things to kind of rectify this. Currently, Betsy Braddock and Psylocke are two different people in the X-Men comics.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
They've been separated. They are two completely different people. Betsy Braddock is now Captain Britain. So,
Okay. So
they've gone a long way into fixing that. I don't know if the show will do that, but I also don't think the show will actually get into like the complicated nature of her being Asian and like what that means in regards to like just the culture of it all. Just go to Wikipedia and look some shit up about the British Empire and Asians. It's fucking, it's a weird thing to do. Like, to take this, she's royalty, essentially, British royalty, and have this woman put in an Asian woman's body. It's a very fucking weird thing to do. That's Chris Claremont for you. Yeah, when they showed her, I was like, why is she with Alpha Flight? Also, seeing all those cameos, though, like, we got to see some more of Cap, Iron Man. We got to see Daredevil and Cloak and Dagger.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was, we saw Captain Marvel again, or Miss, Carol Danvers, Miss Marvel. Yeah. The T'Chaka, which was a nice pop, right?
We see Black Panther and then we see mm-hmm. T'Chaka, and looks like he's wearing Black Panther suit. Just mm-hmm. not the mask. So I wonder if he's still Black Panther in this universe. It seems like that's the case, but I don't know. So,
it was interesting, and I loved the whole thing with Cap and him, like being the moral center or core of like. Non-mutant humans, like saying we shouldn't be doing this, we shouldn't be killing these fucking people, you're fucking crazy, and then going no, we're gonna do it, and let's go ahead and just, you know, President Kelly, let's just go ahead and kill the shit out of these people. That was like a nice little added like pop to things. I'm gonna talk about this for just a little bit. It was a little distracting, because it happened so much so quickly in an episode that I understand is the finale, so you want to give as much pop as possible, which is a two-parter. It is a two-parter because it's 42 minutes, and the average episode is only like 28 or 29 minutes, which is nice, but it was like, it was weird. It threw me off just a little bit, and I think why it was because so much of the animated series never had, like, they were all kind of compartmentalized for so long. To see it happen in a weird, like, to see this get unlocked in the best way possible was really jarring for me. So much so that I had to rewatch the episode to catch everything, because it was just like, what the fuck? Why are they having these? What? T'Chaka? What? Like, all of these cameos. It just threw me for a loop that I was not expecting. Though I loved it, but did it feel distracting to you in any way? Or was it just a part of the milieu and it was like, yes?
I didn't think it was that distracting. I can understand why. I thought it was interesting that... So there is... the original, the 90s Spider-Man animated series basically ended on a cliffhanger, and then it got rebooted as Spider-Man Unlimited, which was just a clusterfuck. And for a long time, Spider-Man fans have just been like, that's so fucked up. like, we don't know, like, is like, because he's like going to save Mary Jane, like she's in danger, and like they don't answer that question. I appreciate that Bo DeMeo and company were like, we can't do much, but we're gonna answer the question. Are they okay? Yeah, they're okay. Spider-Man's here. There's Mary Jane. She's fine. She survived. Like, I kind of low-key really appreciated that they would do something like that. It's very, very small.
Yes.
I like the inclusion, like the idea that it is a bigger world than just the X-Men.
No, I love that. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I really, really, really love what they did. It took me a second, right? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a holy shit moment. It's just like the, like, you know, when Cap first shows up.
It's like, was his battle with Rogue?
Yeah.
Quote battle. Like, that was fucking great, man. She's like,
it was.
You little, like, and I do love Cap, but I also love that this Cap is basically like that. I don't want to say bootlicking, like, but he is kind of
he's kind of a bootlicker.
Like, just like, well, you know, and Cap's been that in the comics a lot. I like that they're like, that's the version we've gone with. So that's what we're sticking with. And Rogue's kind of like brash in your face, like, fuck you. Like, taking that shield and flinging it and just being like, yeah, see you later.
It was fucking awesome.
Great. And you know what? I'll say this since we're talking about Rogue. I know this, again, I speak blasphemy to nerds everywhere, but because fuck Obi-Wan Kenobi, and but I hate Rogue and Gambit. They're probably my two least favorite fucking characters in all of X-Men, and there are a lot of fucking X-Men.
There are a lot of X-Men. There really are. That's a bold statement. Okay.
This show has at least made me appreciate what those characters can be. I don't like Gambit at all, but Gambit's sacrifice was fucking awesome. Like, I texted Spencer after, like, as I'm watching it, I texted him and I was like, I take back every shitty thing I ever said about Gambit. Like, it was fucking, and that was before he sacrificed himself. Like,
yeah,
him, like with the bike and like getting Rogue out of the way, and like just all of that was so fucking good. And I was like, I'm really digging this. Like, I really, really appreciate what they're doing with this character. Now, what's going to be really fascinating is what comes next with that character. Because, like, if you stuck around through the credits, there's a mid-post, I don't know how you want to say it, there's a credit scene. Like, even after the whole, like, oh, the X-Men are time displaced, what the fuck? Like, even after that, maybe, seemingly in current day, because he's standing in the ashes of Genosha, is Apocalypse, and he reaches down into some ashes and pulls up Gambit's playing card. One of Gambit's playing
cards. One of Gambit, the Queen of Hearts of all things.
Yeah.
Which is very kind of fun. And, like, yeah, like, let's get into that ending. Like, let's get into the thing that you called, like...
Well, I said Age of Apocalypse. I do not think they're going Age of Apocalypse. So...
Oh, okay.
So, there are three X-Men storylines that they reference... specifically. Okay. One of them is it was called the Further Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, and it's about those two characters being sent to the future. In the books, it's just their consciousness that gets time displaced, not their bodies, but they go to the future and wind up raising young Nathan. They call it out, Nathan, but it is definitely, I'll say my opinion, but I'm saying definitely not an alternate universe. Like, there's an Age of Apocalypse Nathan who was never infected with the techno-organic virus. His name's Nate Gray. This kid has a metal arm. Like, you can see it. Only briefly, but you can see it. So, it is... I am almost 100% sure their version of Nathan. Like, that's who they're going to raise. Now, whether or not he will know that they're his actual father and surrogate mother, I guess, that remains to be seen. In the books, he doesn't, because it's a different consciousness. But there's a moment towards the end where Cable is telling Cyclops and Jean about how the people who raised him would tell him these amazing stories of what the X-Men were and how much that meant to him. And I think that version of Nathan, that older Cable, I think he knows. I think he knows who they are. He just can't tell them what's going
to
happen.
Because time, right. Back to the Future 2 of it all.
Right.
Paradox. So there we go.
He can't tell them what he knows is going to happen, but he knows that's going to happen. So, which is why they're probably a little bit sadder than he is. Like, they think that this is the end, and he knows it's just the beginning. Because he's from the fucking future. then you have, there's a storyline, I think it's just called The Rise of Apocalypse, that basically just details the origin of Apocalypse, like, Apocalypse, as this, like, slave and coming to power as, like, the first real, like, mutant, because it's fucking, like, BC era. So, that's just a story in the books. None of the X-Men were present for that. So that's a little different. I don't know what they're going to do there. Then there's a current era, or not current era comics, but like present day thing where it doesn't happen. Like, Gambit doesn't die, but Gambit basically agrees to become an Horseman of Apocalypse. He becomes Death and gets corrupted by Apocalypse. And, like, I'm pretty sure that's where that's going. Now, like, this show does a really good job of taking, like, well-established comics lore and branching it off into different ways. So, but the funny thing is, like, the people that aren't present in those, that, like, it's just Cyclops and Jean in the future, and it's Beast, Xavier, Jubilee, Rogue, I think.
Yes.
And maybe Sunspot in the past.
Okay, so, like, I can actually tell you who it is. Let's see here. Give me 2 seconds. Because I was actually looking that up of, like, where everybody is and stuff. Let's see here. Give me 2 seconds, 2 seconds. Okay, so it's Young Nathan. Or wait. Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler, Beast, Xavier, Magneto are in ancient Egypt. Rogue.
Okay, so Jubilee's not there.
No, she's in the present. Remember, she's with Sunspot and Forge. You know, 6 months later, the X-Men are still gone. They're still searching for them and the new X. What I love also is the whole, like, Forge's murder board.
Yeah.
Fucking murder board.
Missing presumed dead.
And then other people that he's just hasn't found yet, you know, like Colossus is there. Like, it's almost like a preview of what we're going to get in season 2 and season 3, because if people don't know, Disney Plus has actually greenlit both They already greenlit 2, but they also greenlit 3, which is being developed right now. Season 2 is already in production. And from everything I've heard, it's probably going to be released sometime early next year.
So, Missing Presumed Dead, we have Cyclops and Jean. We know what happened to them. Xavier, we know where he is. Storm, Missing Presumed Dead. We saw her get shot in the back and fall. But, like, you know, I mean, she's probably not dead. Scarlet Witch is on the board, weirdly enough. Yes. And it says off-world. Colossus is on the board. Says nothing. It just has a picture of Colossus. Beast, Missing Presumed Dead. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to see who else I can see in this picture. God, this scene goes on forever. Bishop just waxing poetic about how he's going to fucking save everybody. Where were you, dude? Where have you been?
Yeah, seriously. Bishop, you got a lot of fucking... You got a lot of shit to answer for, motherfucker. Like, literally, I so wanted him to, like fucking punch him. Okay, so you have Iceman, Havoc, Exodus.
Morph is Missing Presumed Dead as well.
Yeah, Missing Presumed Dead. Dust, Archangel is Missing Presumed Dead. Emma Frost is there. Shadowcat, Quicksilver. Off-world, which makes sense because his sister is off-world, right?
Right. It's got to be an Avengers thing.
Yeah.
Because they were members of the Avengers. So.
Yes. Let's see. Jesus. Like, I'm trying to get the... I'm seeing the images. It's just like... It's like... Yeah. It's hard to see some of these things. Let's see. And they have some pretty deep, deep calls to, like, other people. Jesus. Yeah, I really can't see the other ones. Like,
yeah.
So like, there are quite a few.
So we're gonna have, like, for at least for the first few episodes, basically competing storylines. Like, yes. Far past, far future. Yeah, and present day, like with like building up the new X-Men.
Wouldn't it be great if they just did them as episodes and they did like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they did the Stephen King of it, right? Like I'm always a fan of I'm a huge fan of The Stand, right? And The Stand is all told from character perspective. Like, it goes around, and it does, like, this little weird roundabout with each chapter being told from a specific person's perspective, right? So, like, what if they did that with this, where each of the teams are there, right? Or each of the teams are each of the sections are... people that like, you know, groups of people. So there's also Exodus. Let's see here. I'm trying to see of the other ones that are there. Here. No, I can't see anything else. Yeah. But at least we're going to be getting new, like you said, like a new formation. Like, are we actually believing that Forge is going to believe Bishop? Because, I mean, Bishop is kind of an asshole at this point, right?
It's kind of funny that the show, like, history is that Forge is the person that sent Bishop back in time.
Oh.
So, because in Bishop's future, Forge is one of the few mutants from that time that are still living. And because he is a technopath, he's able to... reactivate or create or something the time machine that sends Bishop back into the past. The Days of Future Past storyline in the X-Men animated series universe, Bishop is one of the like main components of that storyline, even though he wasn't even created when the books.
Yeah, with the Claremont version. But I mean, you know, that's okay. This, that, and six other ways till Sunday, right?
That's what this show does. Like, it takes those established storylines and kind of melds it with other things to, like, so that you're not having to, like get really, really, like, oh, this character didn't exist then, or, you know, it just doesn't matter. So, when I was younger, it used to bug the shit out of me, especially with Cable. I was like, none of this is accurate. Because it's my favorite character, but it's a little more accurate now than it has been.
Can I ask you a question about something? Okay, so the thing that we didn't talk about was Magneto taking all of the adamantium out of, like, it's a really iconic moment, right?
Yeah, he we're about to get feral Wolverine, which is one of every, like, most X-Men fans, one of their least favorite, which it's what makes it so interesting. It is an iconic moment from the comics. Absolutely iconic. Like we fans remember reading that and just or seeing that cover and being like, what the fuck? It was insane at the time. But then that led to this creation of this, like, the Bone Claws Wolverine, and, like,
yes,
he kept, like, devolving and became this, like, feral dog-like thing. And fucking, like, people hate that. Like, so I don't know that that's the route they're going to go. Like, they might just forego all of that. But, well, like, removing his adamantium and, like, getting to what will be a more, like, original primal Logan and not, like, the Weapon X, you know, thing, mm-hmm. It's certainly interesting.
So I was going to ask, do we think that we're going to get a, like, a very different version, but all the same, because Silver Samurai is there, a Logan in Japan story?
I mean, they did that in the original show.
They did.
I know people like it. I hate Logan in Japan. Like, I hate all that stuff.
It's really cultural appropriation. It's a really bad cultural appropriation. It's,
more than anything, I found it so boring. Like, I don't, like, his whole, like, love affair. It's so damn boring to me. But a lot of people like it. You know, it is what it is. That could be the key, like, why we keep seeing Silver Samurai, is they knew they were going to do this. And, like, so when that character does show back up, people aren't like, where the fuck did this guy come from? So, you know, like, he, you know, the way it happened in the Wolverine movie is not remotely accurate. But, like, he is a character that's, like, kind of has that obsession with the adamantium as well. So, yeah, I mean, it could be a way we get, at least get back to him getting his adamantium back.
This is true.
It'd be more interesting to not do it, in my opinion.
Well, like, I don't mind him, like, you know, like the thing is that I kind of want him to stay without the adamantium. If you took it off of him, there's no reason why you need to keep it there unless you're going to go, like, unless you're going to redo everything, like, you're going to do a Redux thing and you're going to get Stryker out there and you're going to have him do something like make a deal with the devil kind of sort of thing. But I kind of would like it just to be like Bone Claw, because you just kind of, like, I don't know, like, Wolverine, like, my favorite Wolverine is Wounded Hurt Wolverine. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, either psychologically or physically. I don't care too much for fully loaded Wolverine. Like, you know, like, I'm at 100%.
Yeah. Because it just... Underdog Wolverine is always the best.
Like, best, right? Yeah. Because, I mean...
It's kind of why X-Men Origins Wolverine... It's not the only reason it sucks, but, like, he's such a, like, driving force in his own story, which sounds weird, but... Wolverine isn't the driving force in his own story. He's the dude who just wants to be left alone.
Yes. Well, and then also, like, okay, so, like, the other thing that I like is that, like, he does not want to, like, not only does he not want to be, he doesn't want to, like, you know, he wants to be left alone, but he doesn't want to do anything. Like, I like that Wolverine, because that's the Wolverine that gets into trouble, gets beaten up.
Yep.
Like, what I think that Logan got right was the pain, right? Like, every single other iteration of Hugh Jackman's version, other than the one line, which I'm always like, she's like, what Rogue says, like, does it hurt when they come out? And he's like, every single time. But he says it such a, with a gnarly kind of like snarl, like I'm Lee Marvin in a badass, that it's not the time that I really would have wanted that. I kind of would have wanted it when we had him in Logan, where Jackman is finally sick and tired of playing this character. Because that's exactly the vibe that I want from my Wolverine. I know that we've never kind of really talked about like different like iterations of this character, but I think that now that we've talked about it, I think that we like the reason why we both agree Logan is a great for very many different reasons, but one of the big reasons why Logan works so well is because it's wounded Wolverine. It's the Wolverine at like 60%. Yeah. And that's kind of what you want. And then the great part is that he faces off against Wolverine at 100%, and you realize how fucking ridiculously stupid that is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like Superman, right? Superman is only as good as his villain. And it's only as good as how good that villain can top Superman, because he's a god, you know. It's like weird kind of like informy stuff that I like to talk about. Like it's the stuff in the weeds, right?
I mean, unfortunately, that's why like we have the Storm that we have in this show, which really sucks. It's unfortunate, but like when much like Magneto, when you have a character that can do what they can do, like you have to find a way to sideline them. Otherwise, like it's over pretty fucking quick.
Yes, like exactly. Or give them villains that don't like, that's the reason why, like for me, like the Sentinels have always been a great villain, because they are always going to top the X-Men. Why? Because of the way that they have evolved and they changed. And I mean, you know, talk about like smart moves with pulling stuff from comics with the Apocalypse, like, or with the which I'm always surprised that we finally got the Sentinels, but we didn't get this iteration of the Sentinels, which would have been so much fucking easier in Days of Future Past if they had done that rather than doing the robots.
Right, you know, if what I you mean? Got the Prime Sentinels,
the Prime Sentinels, which, like, to be perfectly honest, when we first, I think that we might have even had a conversation when we did back in the film dispenser days when we had the podcast. I think that we actually had a full on conversation of like, robot Sentinels was kind of dumb for them to do in Days of Future Past. It should have realistically been the Prime, and they should have been the main, like. It should have been that was the main villain, right? Like those versions. But it just keeps on making smart decisions. Like everything that we're talking about, like I love the fact that this series has managed to, like, you know, has started conversations like this for us, because that tells me that it's working, right? Like this tells me that, like, it's more than just like they're like that writer's room. And like my only worry about next season is DeMeo is not the showrunner.
We still have no like inkling of what went down. And I guess props to both parties for not like publicly finger pointing and like dragging things through the media. And like, because if it's a James Gunn level thing of like, maybe some past stuff came to light that, I mean, let's be honest, like bad jokes are just bad jokes. I watched the roast of Tom Brady. Bits and pieces of it this past week, mostly just to see what's her name fucking take everybody down. I'm drawing a blank on the fucking name. The blonde. She just had a special that premiered on HBO, and I can't remember.
Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, Nikki Glaser. Like, she takes, like, she just eviscerates them. And nobody else is really worth watching. Mostly because, like, most of the dude's jokes are just about, like, ha ha ha, you want Tom Brady's junk. And like her jokes kind of spin that way, but like it is like she tells Bert Kreischer, like, Bert, you know, I'm a big fan of your joke. And he's like, cause yeah. She's like, because you only have the one. Like, shirts are supposed to stay on. You take yours off. You think that's a yep. joke? like, but to my point being, like, it's bad jokes in the wrong place. That was what James Gunn was really guilty of. And then a bunch of fucking armchair dipshits being like, oh, you can't say stuff like that. I'm like, well, I haven't in years. Like, but we don't know if it's that level of thing or if it's like something super serious. Maybe the reason nobody said anything is because there's a non-disclosure involved. Like, it's just all we can do is speculate. And you know, I was listening to the Midnight Boys on whatever their feed is called. And like they were talking about it, and it was a very mixed bag of like one or two quick to just be like, we don't know what happened. So like, it's stupid to assume the worst. And one or two of them being like, well, it had to be something serious. He got fired. So like, fuck that guy. Not really, but like basically saying that. And it's just like, I don't know where to fall on this, but like, again, I don't have any information. So why should I be just like, I mean, people get fired from jobs. Like,
yeah, no, they do. They absolutely do. And like, the thing is that they didn't say he was fired. That he is just no longer going to be working with the company, which is kind of a way of saying fired. Right. But in a place like X-Men, like, or in a place like Marvel, like, everybody's an independent contractor. There's like only executives are like employees. Like, you know, like these guys are all like literally they're like every writer, like they're part of the union, every creative that's there, they're not employees of Marvel. They're independent contractors that work
for hire. So
yeah, they're work for hire. It's all work for hire. So he didn't get fired. He just didn't get signed on for the second. And what you said is true, is that we don't know. And I'm not going to assume that a POC man who also happens to be LGBTQ, like I'm not going to assume that they fired him because of that, or they fired him for anything other than just it just wasn't working out. And like, the whole thing is that
for all we know, he sat in the writer's room and just made extremely inappropriate jokes and made everybody uncomfortable. Like, yeah, okay, I understand, like you gotta let that dude go. So exactly. That doesn't make him a complete and total fucking piece of shit. It's just like, dude, not the time, not the place. Like, yeah, it's not the roast of Tom Brady. Like, nobody signed up for this shit.
100%, and nobody is asking, like, and there's not, like, okay, so, like, there's nothing that says that he couldn't come back, right? Or that he was not the person that was the main, yeah, like, even though he's credited, but the main driving force.
Yeah, we don't know what the secret sauce is, or who it is, or, you know, like, I would point to, like, Futurama is a good example of this.
Oh yeah.
Like when Futurama, like its initial, like broken up like 4 or 5 years on Fox, like was it as much as Fox tried to repeatedly kill the show, it's fucking brilliant. Beginning to end, like to the Fry playing the holophoner one last time, Leela watching in the theater, like it's brilliant. They bring the show back, most of the writer's room. Most, not yeah. all, come back.
Not all, and that's where the problem is. Yeah. Because then we found out absolutely who wrote Futurama, and who was credited with writing
Futurama. And it could just be as simple as like having those one or two people in there to like be like, ah, maybe that's a bit too much. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you don't know. And you can't know until you get to that point. So, I mean, we'll see in season two. I think the Bible was mostly there. So it's not, maybe not, unless they just go, fuck that, we're scrapping all of that, which I don't think they can. I'm pretty sure, like you said, it's probably going to premiere early next year. So it's well into production. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if his name is still on season two. Like, unless it's just a, like a mutual agreement of like, hey, your name's not going to be on here. Like, we pay you blah. Like, it's just because he was seemingly instrumental in like mapping out a lot of that. So, yes. And probably those, definitely those scripts were already there. So I wouldn't be surprised if his name is on season two. It's probably when we get past season two that it might get a little iffy. So, but you know, we'll see. One last really great moment, just to go back to the actual show itself. And this is a very small thing, but and it wasn't even in the finale. It was in the episode before that, but I got such a big smile on my face when they were trying to stop Magneto, and Xavier was doing his thing, and Magneto was like, there's something I've been wanting to say to you for a long time.
Yes.
And then he magnetically puts that fucking helmet on him, squeezes it, and then puts that thing over his mouth and says, shut up.
Like, shut up.
It's so fucking great.
Yep. It really is. Like it's probably one of the best moments, because I think that we were all thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Like at that point, because, man, like, the thing that the show gets right is that it just makes Charles such a stick in the fucking mud. Like, it
gives him his moments, but it also doesn't shy away from, like the thing with the Shi'ar, like, it was really, like, him schooling them, literally. It was, like, Xavier being like the good person he can be, but like also he's having to do that because like he almost died and then left Earth and didn't fucking tell anybody. Like, what the hell, man? Like, yeah, and left your whole school, your whole legacy to a fucking terrorist. Like, what? Like, it's that whole thing of like, these characters contain multitudes that the show really does kind of get right. Maybe, I'd say definitely even more so than the original series, because they can go a little bit further than a Saturday morning cartoon could. So,
they really can. Yeah.
You know, it like, we, I don't think we would have ever gotten like Bastion's like level of like insanity on the original show. Like, it's a fucking massacre, you know? The show is just, it does so much right that it's hard to, like, I could sit down and pick it apart. I really could.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to do when it does so much right. Like, it crams way too much into too much of small time space. But it's having so much fun and getting those character beats so right. It's just hard to be pissed about that, you know?
No, it really is. Like, it's like, it's the whole thing of like, you know, as long as they get 80%, you can ignore the 20%, right?
Yeah.
And they're running at 80, 85. And that's a lot. That's like to have most of it, like, right. Even the stuff that you're unsure about at first, you're like to get your buy-in. Like, and that's the thing for me, is that they got my buy-in. Like, they got me like, okay, well, let's see where this goes. Like, shows often don't, like, you know, things don't often, I don't get that latitude from me anymore. If I don't like something going south, I'm like, okay, fuck it. I have way too much shit to watch and review to actually put up with this bullshit nonsense. This show is like one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm questioning it, but I'm going to see where you go with this, because you've earned my trust now. And like, you know what? That's the most you can ask for a first season, right? Like, they gain your trust and you're willing to dive into them, into the weeds with them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, full on, like, I'm super excited for the next season. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, it's like, yeah, this is good. This is good stuff. And we're gonna, like, you know, we're in an era where it's like, there's so much out there, but most of it isn't that great. Yeah.
It's my one fear is the one thing I've been saying for weeks and weeks now is that it just proves that you cannot do the X-Men
in a
live action movie. Like, it needs to be serialized. I went to McKay's, this big bookstore media thing today, traded in a bunch of stuff that had just been laying around collecting dust. That I was never going to read. Got some store credit and went shopping a little bit. And it's a show that I actually forgot about. There was a show on Fox for 2 seasons called The Gifted, which was based in X-Men lore. And it was really fucking good. It couldn't do a lot. They didn't have a huge budget, had a great cast, and it was very, very well done. And, like, I saw it, and I was like, I forgot that show existed. Like, me and Ryan used to talk about it all the time. And so I picked up, they only had season 1, so I picked up season 1. I don't know if I'll get around to rewatching it anytime soon. But, you know, I'm getting back on the gotta have physical media train. So, it was, like, $8, too. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, you can... especially with store credit, that's like, you know, you're playing with house money at that point.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so I gotta do something with it. So but it works because it's serialized, like, over 13 episodes instead of trying to, like, if you try to condense that into 2.5 hours, like, any one of these episodes of X-Men 97 would be a 2.5 hour movie. Like,
and still get it wrong.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I don't know. It just, for me, works better serialized. We'll see. Hopefully they get it right. We've got a few years before we see anything real outside of Deadpool Wolverine. But, you know, who knows what we're going to get there. Anyway, yeah, go. I guess that'll do it for X-Men discussion.
Yes.
go check out everything else we're doing over at xwingfiles.com. And if you want to read my writing along with Adam's stuff, you can do that at Adam's website.
TheMovieAisle.com. We've got some great stuff up right now. Logan,
you've been on a classic binge, man.
Yeah, I have. It's what they're giving me. So I'm going to, you know, I take what I can get and... it's been wild how much good stuff that I've been getting. So you can always read my home video reviews and some of my theatrical stuff. I don't know if I'm going to be writing about Furiosa, which I just saw yesterday. Not to say that that's not an indication of quality. It's just I've got so much to write about that, like, you know, I may not, like, it's a great movie. Like, well, I can, I'm not under embargo or anything. The reviews are already out there. It's a great movie. It's very different than Fury Road. Where Fury Road is like an action film, like it's just an action set. Like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, it's a big chase movie, right? Like it's a giant chase that doesn't stop until the end.
Yeah.
This is an actual story. Like, this is an actual, like, how did Furiosa, like, if the payoff was Fury Road, Furiosa is the setup. So, like, it doesn't mean that there's not a lot of action. There's a ton of action, and it's really good. Like, it's just as good as Fury Road action, but it's a story rather than like a giant action thing. I really enjoyed it. Chris Hemsworth is fucking awesome. He's so good. Just as a preview of what you guys have to in store for you guys. If you guys are on that train, and I hope you guys are, because I would really like more Mad Max movies, and it not take a decade, because I don't think George Miller has a decade.
Isn't he like 80? 80.
Yeah, he's like 80. Fucking guys, all these guys are 80s. But I mean, like, he is the one dude I can honestly say, at 80 years old, he's probably better at what he's doing now than he was when he first started doing it, which is not something I can say about a lot of directors. Most of the directors, they have their peak. It's usually around somewhere in their like 30s into their 40s if they start early, but it's usually that first 10 years of working is where they get their prime stuff. He's doing it like the last 20 years of his life, which is awesome. But yeah,
I'm with you. I'm far more interested in what he's doing in his 80s than I am in what Scorsese and Spielberg are doing in their 80s.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're doing the same shit. Even though he's doing the same shit, he's pushing himself. Like, he, like, literally, there are two, like, I told somebody this. I was like, there's two people in this world, or like, there are two directors right now that are working that are ahead of people by at least 10 to 15 years. One of them is George Miller, the other is James Cameron. And you will always get my ass in a seat first day to see whatever they're doing. Or yeah, earlier if I can.
It might ultimately might not work, but you know it's going to be interesting. So,
yes.
Scorsese and Spielberg, like, I'm not knocking them, but it is like sitting down and going like, all right, it's like going to see a band that you liked and being like, okay, well, play the shit I know. So,
well, I mean, it's like as an example, like the last three Spielberg films I have not seen in the theater, and I hate confessing that, but I haven't. Not just because of COVID, but just because it was just like, okay, that sounds very Spielberg-y. Okay, well, you know, I can see that at home. Which is like, but like, you know, you tell me James Cameron's bringing out another Avatar movie, I'm fucking there. And I'm probably trying to get into a screening or trying to get a friend to get me into a screening early. Same thing with fucking George Miller. You tell me George Miller's making a movie, I'm there, and I'm there early. And it just proves, because I feel like they're still hungry. Like Cameron at 70 is still hungry, and Miller at 80 is still hungry. You can tell in the filmmaking.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, but I can talk more about that next week. If we decide to talk about that, I still need to see the Apes movie. I don't know if you're even into it, or if you even saw it. Like, you might have saw it.
No, I didn't go see it. The reviews made me interested, and mm-hmm. I was gonna go last night, but I got wrapped up in Spider-Man. So
that's just as much of a good venture into investment in time as, say, going to see an Apes movie. Yeah. You know,
it would have taken me another month to finish Spider-Man if I was just playing it casually like I was. I sat down and started playing. I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm gonna get through this game. Like, yes. I've been playing it since February. Like, I need to at least finish the story. So
yeah. Well, we'll be back next week. Who knows what the hell we're going to be talking about? I mean,
I'm going to see The Strangers. So.
Oh, The Strangers. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, you know me. I'm always up for a horror film, and Rennie Harlan coming back, like, yeah, with a trilogy. Like, he's already filmed his trilogy, so like, we're getting one every couple of, like, every 6 months, I think. Yeah. Which is wild. So yeah, I didn't even realize that was out already, or that was coming out this week.
Comes out this weekend. Okay. We're recording Thursday. I'm pretty sure it's out now. So
yeah, it's out now then. Okay. Well, then I don't have to go see If. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm really not. I want to
see it, but no, I'm not gonna. I don't think I'm gonna spring to go.
Yeah,
like see it in a theater. So.
I just like let's be honest, he's trying to do Pixar, but Pixar is Pixar.
I mean, he's got young kids, so I'm not really like, he's just doing something for your kids, and I can appreciate Ryan Reynolds kind of like the one for my adult fans, one for my kids. So
yep,
I appreciate his little back and forth, you know. It's I'm sure it's fine. I doubt it's anything great. So, but you know, when if you were that level of talent and you had young kids and they're like, "What do you do for a living?" You'd be like, "Let me show you A Quiet Place." Like, nah,
nah.
Like, exactly. Oh, let me show you Deadpool. No, you can't do that. So you make movies. So when your kids want to know what you do, you can show them those movies. When their friends come over and talk about, like, let's watch one of your dad's movies, you can show them that movie. So I think I get it, and it's a cute idea, even if it's something that's been done to death. But the talent involved is amazing. It just, I'm sure, but I mean, the talent involved in Doolittle was amazing too, and that fucking blue chunk. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, we'll see you guys in a little over a week. But yeah, we'll see you soon. Number 4 Mario, number 5 Weird Al, number 6 Batman, number 7 Kal-El, number 8 The Simpsons, number 9 TV, number 10 every single band that I stole all their MP3s, but they're probably all sold out. Say hello together if you're with me now. Nerds ruin everything.